All right. So Jesus is talking. He's in Jerusalem. He's come in. Already what has happened as he's come in, he's gone to the temple. He left the temple. Then the next day he came in and he threw out the money changers and said, "This you have my father's house should be a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of robbers." And he cast out all the people, the money changers, the people who are selling animals, all of it. Out, out, out. And then he has this thing about beware of those scribes who walk around in long robes, like to be looked at. And have the finest places in the synagogues and all of those things. And then he turns to the treasury of all things. Like, is Jesus really interested in that? And apparently he was. He looks at it, and he's watching all these people put in, and then something happens that just knocks his socks off. A woman, a widow, comes up, and she puts in the last of her money. The last of it. There's none left. And it harkens to a couple of things. It harkens to that widow at Zarephath, right? She's got nothing left but a little bit of oil, a little bit of bread, and the prophet says, "Make it, put it all in. Don't worry. There'll be more left afterwards." And so she does what the prophet says and gives him his bread and then this miraculous thing happens, and God provides bread and wine for her and her son. So that's one image that's floating around as you hear this story. But there's also the image that what Jesus said about the... he says, beware of those, and he says, who devour widows' houses. Right? This is just a stunning thing. So there is this thing where widows, women, aren't allowed to have property. And they can't manage their own property. And so these religious folks take over the caretaking of their property. But remember, some time back in the Gospel of Mark, where you can say that all of your... It was about honoring your mother and your father, remember? The commandment is honor your mother and your father. And Jesus says to the people, though, religious leaders, but you have taken... the land that your mother and father have and called it korban, which means dedicated to the temple, which means it can't be used anymore to support your mother and your father. And where does it go? Well, it goes to the temple, but it goes also to those people in the temple who are making money on it, devouring widows' homes. Okay. So basically what he's saying is that this is a corrupt system. And you're taking advantage of the most vulnerable. And now, all of a sudden, here's this woman, this widow, who is going and giving her last pennies to this corrupt system. And I don't think Jesus is saying, "What a faithful woman she is." I think he's saying, "Holy mackerel! That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be giving my whole life for a corrupt system, for the sake of this corrupt system, for the sake of this corrupt system in which we live. I wonder if he's asking, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? It's a mess. I'm going to do it for those people?" And the answer is yes. I'm going to do it for them. I'm going to pour out my life for the sake of these people. For the sake of the very people who are going to take my life from me.
come to show them what God is like. To show them that God is about love, that God is about taking care of the least and the least and the poorest and the most vulnerable people in the world. That's what God's up to, as we heard here in the psalm. God takes care of the widow, the orphan, right? And these people, they don't want to hear that. In fact, they're going to kill me for it. And I'm going to give my life and to demonstrate to them what God is like. Self-giving love. And when I return, I will be the one who forgives them of that very hatred. It's this incredible turn that God has done. Now, for us, the question, I think, is how do we stand, where do we stand to watch for such things as this? This, like, prophetic giving of oneself. In order to expose to everyone the injustice and the hatred that is being redeemed. So, I saw a few things this week. Did any of you hear the story of the woman in Iran, student in the university in Iran, who her hijab was not prayed on right, and the righteousness police, I don't know what, some people came to him to her and really were giving her a hard time, and so what, you know what she did? She started to take her hijab off, and she stripped herself down to her underwear. Why? To show people. To demonstrate what was behind all of that. All of the hatred that was behind it. She exposed it. And of course they arrested her. Best case scenario is they did what they typically do. Took her to an insane asylum. She wasn't insane. She was very witness. Is very witness. It's a similar thing to what Lema Bowie did in Liberia when she and a group of women were surrounding this campus where there were supposed to be peace talks going on between the Liberian government and Liberian rebels, revolutionaries, and they were supposed to have peace talks, but the revolutionaries had been living in the jungle for so long, they got to this beautiful campus. All they wanted to do was enjoy it. So they were putting off talking about peace. Because they were hanging out and enjoying this, because they'd been in really hard circumstances for a long time. Finally, the women gathered around it and told them that they could not leave. They told the men, you cannot leave this until you get a peace agreement. And they sent police to arrest them. And Lema stood up in front of them and said, you want to arrest me? Okay. And she started to undress herself, which is just absolutely like, it's just, oh no, please. And the police were so freaked out by it, they go, oh no, mama, no, please don't, no. Right? Because it would have been their shame that she was showing. And she said, no. They said, no, please don't. And Lema was, she in telling the story, she said, I just thought I was so proud of myself. And I turned around, and all of the women were taking their clothes off, too. Right? So she wasn't by herself, right? Okay. Or again, when Martin Luther King and the Montgomery Boys bus boycott, right? They were really afraid. The leaders were all afraid, and they were in hiding from the people because people were getting arrested. And one of the leaders said, no, we cannot be in hiding. We need to go to the police department and get ourselves arrested. We need to show the injustice of this, to demonstrate, to let people's eyes be open to what's going on. And so they did. They went, and they got arrested, and that whole process became an important witness in the whole civil rights movement. To hand ourselves over, to bear witness to the injustice, not in order to condemn, but in order to expose. So that we know what's going on. And we can see it There's no avoiding it. And all of that happens because Jesus did it first. Jesus put himself in the hands of us. And this is what we did to him. And it's what we continue to do to the world. Our world has not quite learned the lesson. And nevertheless, Jesus continues to come to us. Jesus continues to bear witness to God's unending love, unfailing love, even for us. Even for us when we are unjust. Even for us when we are unwilling. Even for us when we are only absorbed in our own sin. Jesus comes to us. And he says, "My dear ones, yes, you are part of this, but you are not this. You are mine. You are loved. I will care for you. You do not need to care for yourself in the sense of hoarding what you think you need. I will be what you need. I will give you what you need." Like the widows that we've heard so far. So the calling, I think, is for us to stand. I think where we stand is really with those scribes. Jesus is saying, "Oh, come over here. Stand over here with me and the widow. And even if you don't, I'll come over and stand with you. I will be yours. You will be mine." We just went through an election. Choices were made. And some people are happy about it, and some people are not happy about it. But I think one of the lessons of this for us, church, is this. It matters who's in charge, but that's a penultimate. What's really important for us is to understand who we are in the midst of any political circumstance. To know that we are the ones who will be standing and who will bear witness for love and for caring and for supporting those who are vulnerable. Whether the reds are in charge or the blues are in charge or the purples or the whoever. We, church, we will follow Jesus. If you can't say amen, say ouch.
Amen.
I think that is our calling. I think of it as always our calling. So, what do you say? Let us ever walk with Jesus. And where he takes us, we will go.